What makes a man hate life? The memory work for this week, or the scripture memory for this week: the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10 and verse 10. What makes a man hate life? I hope the people, students in your class, are in the habit of working through the questions each day in preparation for the lesson. There's a portion of scripture and a question about the lesson that'll help them get prepared. You want to encourage them to do that. But what makes a man hate life? This here in the fifth of this series, the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 17, where we'll take, if you want to call it the text, Solomon said, therefore I hated life. Man, that's a strong statement, isn't it? I hated life. Therefore, I hated life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I wonder how many people, we've talked about Solomon in these weeks leading up to this lesson. We've talked about how Solomon had everything and he built everything and did everything, and he was still empty, empty hands, empty head, empty heart, no satisfaction. And he comes to this conclusion: I hated life. And I'm thinking about our day and age, and as we look at people, we see things. I wonder how many people walked by Solomon or in Solomon's day, they heard of Solomon and would see him and think, man, that man's got everything. I wish I was Solomon. And the whole time inside, he's saying, I hate life. I hate life. That makes me think about the people that I pass each day. And some of them I look at and think, man, now that they look like they have it made. And I wonder how many of them are thinking, I hate life. Because, see, we have this outward appearance that we put on. Everybody does. And most people are pretty good at it. They know how to order their outward world. They know the right things to say. And they know how to put on the smile. They know how to dress, what to drive, where to live. And many, many of them are saying, I hate life. I hate life. I wonder how many of them could be encouraged for someone to take the time, share Jesus Christ with them. Because they look like they have everything together, but inside they're saying, I hate life. It's not fulfilling. It's not what it should be. I hate life. That's what Solomon said. I hate life. As everything in his public world seemed ordered. But inside, it was all falling apart. Some people hate it so much, you'll read about it as you're preparing for the lesson, that they decide to take their own life. That's never the answer. Never the answer. You've heard the pastor say often, as long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. He's got the message, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Taking your own life is never the answer, but some people get to that point. And sometimes you read about someone who took their own life and think, man, I wouldn't have figured that. They look like they had everything. They look like they had everything together. What happened? And they got to the conclusion that they hated life. That's where Solomon was. He hated life. And until we understand that until everything gets reduced to our personal accountability to God, is how this lesson puts it, our personal accountability to God. We talked to our class last Sunday about, remember what Solomon said here at the end of this message in chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting on an epitaph, on a grave marker on a cemetery somewhere, where they just wrote, for he did the whole duty of man. She did the whole duty of man. And somebody might pass by and say, man, the whole duty of man. They were a busy person. They did lots of things. Nope, they did two things. They feared God and kept his commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? The whole duty of man. Solomon didn't head that direction. He said, it caused me to hate life. The personal accountability to Christ is where that is. Now let's look at these three things quickly together. And we'll discover some reasons why Solomon said he hated life. Number one, we see that he had unrealistic expectations. Look in verse 9. So I was great and increased more. You want to mark that in your Bible? Increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Increased more. Solomon had the unreal expectation that getting more would make him happy. Getting more was the answer. Verse 18, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. And he tells us why he hated it. Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. I wonder if he ever built anything and then left it to a caretaker and came back later to find out that it wasn't being cared for exactly as he wanted it. And no doubt, every time something like that happened, he thought in his mind, you know what, it's all going to be gone. So I'm going to be gone someday, and it's all going to be left here, and it's going to be to ruin just like that. He says, I hated life. He says, all this labor, and I'm going to die and leave it and going to be gone. I'm thinking of the song, Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul. And that's what the scripture clearly teaches. Solomon had the unreal expectation that if he got more things, gained more things, then he would be satisfied and he would have happiness. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. You want to take your class there. Familiar passage of scripture, but it's very convicting. Just straightforward. Love not the world. I wonder what that means. I mean, love not the world. That's what God's Word says. It just says, love not the world. Dwayne, love not the world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. You see that little word? All that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what's going to happen? Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Solomon was under the unrealistic expectation that the more he got, if he could get more things, a greater reputation, more achievement, then he was going to be happy. And we saw that that left him empty. The empty king didn't make him happy. What makes a man hate life? This unrealistic expectation of gaining more things will make a man hate life. Secondly, you see, Solomon experienced this, the unrestrained desire. Unrestrained desire. You know, it's human nature to want more. Look at verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Solomon said, everything I wanted, I got. Everything I saw, everything I could imagine, I took. And he said, that unrestrained desire. And he says, but I hated life. What makes a man hate life? Unrestrained desire. Think about Adam and Eve. We said that it's natural for all of us to want more. We want just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Whatever you have, just a little bit more. Think about Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 2, and verse 15 through 17. You see the reference given to you there. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. I mean, he had it made. There's only one thing he couldn't do. Just one. Just one thing that God said, don't do that. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So there's Adam and Eve. They had absolutely everything they could have wanted. It was perfect. No sin. Only one thing God asked of them. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. What's the nature of man? To want more. And that's the one thing that they wanted to do. That's what Solomon experienced. Unrestrained desire. And that's the philosophy of our world. To deny yourself of nothing. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 10 and 11, and you see this scripture. You want to have good days? That's what Solomon was after. That's what everyone's after. Don't you think? Do you think anyone gets up and says, man, I think I'd like to have a bad day today? Now, a lot of people have bad days, but the Bible clearly tells us we can have good days, and it tells us how we can have good days. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. For he that will love life, Solomon said he hated life. Here we see the opposite. For he that will love life and see good days. That's what I want, good days. Here's what you do. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, okay? And his lips, they speak no guile, completely honest in everything, straightforward, live an honest life. You sleep better at night that way. Let him eschew evil, that's avoid it, shun it, go out of the way to miss it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Good days. Good days. Solomon said, I hated life. Here in 1 Peter, we say, for he that will love life and see good days. The 90th Psalm, Moses penned this 90th Psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the oldest of the Psalms. in verse 10, the days of our years are threescore and ten, and if by reason of strength they be fourscore years. Now this next phrase, now listen to this. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. God's word says your days, first off, they're going to be short. Threescore and ten, if by strength they be fourscore years. Going to be short. It's going to pass quickly. Your life is like a vapor, James says. It's going to pass quickly. But in the best of situations, the strength of my days is labor and sorrow. Under the best situation, it's going to be labor and sorrow. Solomon said, that's what I experienced. Solomon experienced that. And he says, I hate it. It caused me to hate life. Unrestrained desire. He was after more and more and more. And anything he saw, he got it. But that unrestrained desire caused Solomon to hate life. And if we follow God's word, then we can love life, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter. Now let's look at the last thing, the unyielded spirit. What causes a man to hate life? We see here in Solomon's life that we see an unyielded spirit, and it caused him to hate life. Easy enough question to ask and easy to answer rhetorically, but the question given to you here, who deserves to be the authority in your life? And we all rhetorically say, well, Jesus Christ deserves to be the authority. But look at chapter 2, and we've been reading through this chapter for all these weeks. But notice this, as you're thinking about this lesson, Solomon and his unyielded spirit, he says, verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Now, who do you think Solomon was thinking about? I made me gardens. I planted. I made. I got. I gathered. I gat me men singers. So I was great. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, then I looked. Who do you think Solomon was thinking about? Himself. That's exactly right. He had an unyielded spirit, looking after himself and thinking only of himself. And that unyielded spirit caused him to hate life. Who should be the authority in our life? Paul says, he's writing to the church at Corinth, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Why? Because you're bought with a price. That's what Solomon said. That's what Paul said. So who deserves to have the authority in your life? Well, Jesus Christ does. And that's the authority. It's the authority that he desires to have. And this unyielded spirit that Solomon exhibited caused him to hate life. He said, I hated life. What caused him to hate life? Unyielded spirit. Notice, interesting passage here. You've seen this passage a lot of times, but note the order here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke 9, 23. Christ speaking, and he's talking about discipleship, and he just got Peter's confession. Whom do men say that I am? And Christ, Peter saying, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 23, and he said to them all, Christ speaking, if any man will come after me. So he's talking about discipleship. And then he gives them three qualifications right here. Notice them. Number one, deny himself. Number two, and take up his cross daily. And number three, follow me. Test of discipleship. But what's the very first thing? It's the toughest thing for you and I to do. Deny himself. If any man will deny himself. Solomon, what makes a man hate life? Look at Solomon. What makes a man hate life? His unyielded spirit didn't deny himself. And we must yield our lives to the Lord. The first thing on Christ's list, that's the last thing we want to do. Take up your cross daily? All right. Follow me. I'm after it. Let's go after it. Christ says, nope, first you've got to deny yourself. Deny yourself. What makes a man hate life? Unrealistic expectation of thinking things can make you happy. The unrestrained desire, just seeing, and everything you see, you grab. And an unyielded spirit, living your life for your own pleasure and not living it for Christ. What it did for Solomon was it made him say, therefore, I hated life. Therefore, I hated life. What makes a man hate life? These three things. Now, let's work this Sunday to get people here in our Sunday school class so they can be encouraged by this Bible lesson. It'll help them and be a great help to them as they're seeking to follow Christ. May we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the faithfulness of your word to convict our hearts. I pray now as we prepare and plan for Sunday that you would burn this lesson in our hearts and minds and help us not to be people that are seeking after other things, and so we can love life and have good days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.